on a Friday, August 28, 2026. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quaggenbush, Ben Milstead with you live inside the Upcountry Fiber studios. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection. 654-ROARS, the number 654-7627 on the Adams Curving text line, on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. Such a busy show today. It's our first pregame football Friday edition. It's the first post college football kickoff show presented by Bud Light show of the season. And we are ecstatic, elated, and thrilled to be coming at you. Before we get into it, let me just tell you about if you hate your workday right now, you go work for Arthrex. They don't hate working at Arthrex. I can promise you that. Employee satisfaction scores through the roof because they take care of their employees. We're thankful for Arthrex because they are helping everybody from weekend warriors to professional athletes get back in the game on a regular basis. That's what they do. They're at the forefront of surgical and orthopedic technology. Arthrex is 100% committed to making sure that not only that they do a good job, that the latest and greatest surgical technology gets made, but that you have a good time doing it, whether you're in a kitchen with the gourmet chef on site, whether you're working in their daycare where their employees can take their kids, whether you're an employee enjoying their athletic fields or their pickleball courts, whether you're working a different schedule that more meets your needs, whether you're enjoying the transportation subsidy. It doesn't matter. Whether you're on the factory floor or in management, they believe in what they're doing. Careers.arthrex.com, right there in Sandy Springs. Great place to work, careers.arthrex.com. Ben Milstead, I was very excited for this show, and still am, frankly. But I did just watch Rory McIlroy try to chip from about 30 yards out up a hill, and the ball rolled back to his feet twice. He's about to make a six, and I thought to myself, that's the most Friday, middle-of-the-workday thing ever. I'm going to pretend that our 3 hours today has to cheer up Rory McIlroy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make Rory McIlroy not hate himself at the end of our show. How are you, sir?
I am still feeling the positive effects of last night. I have a hard time sleeping after an event like that. I do. I'm just jacked and, right out of the gate. Man, thank you to everybody who came out. We had so many people. And new location, you don't know what to expect, but, man, our listeners turned out in droves. We took 150 T-shirts with us, and they were gone by 5:50 last night. So I know we've been asked by a lot of people if those are available. They will be available at any remote we have between now and they're gone. And will also be for sale during the Tigers for Tatas campaign. And that money, just like everything else, is not a money maker. It is a money giver. It's a donate. All that money is donated to the All In Foundation. But it was awesome having Bud Light there. They're having them set up alongside us. That was nice little added benefit to being there.
I don't know if people realize there were several, there were lots of corporate Bud Light folks there that had a really good time.
There were 10 or 12 of them there.
That was excellent. Excellent stuff.
So loved having those guys there. They gave away, we thought they were giving away one pair of tickets. They actually gave away two pair of tickets and a really cool neon sign. And the gentleman that won that, man, he loved it. Said it's going in his man cave. I saw him had it plugged in over there after we gave it to him to see what it looks like. I was envious of that thing.
That was nice. Cool. I didn't realize we were doing that. I was like, what's this box? At first, I thought it was Christmas lights. I'm like, is this like our
yes,
Christmas
Quark,
lights?
We're giving away
like,
Christmas
what are we
lights,
doing?
Of
That's
course.
What I'm thinking. What is this for? And it turns out it was just better than that.
On the Rory McIlroy question, Quark, he is playing golf on a Friday afternoon professionally on a gorgeous golf course. I do not feel obligated to cheer him up in any way, shape, or form.
That's Honestly, I appreciate your levity on that. He did make double bogey. He made his putt, but man, he smacked the crap out of that too.
Yes, it's going to go.
That was angry.
Oh, I thought that was going deep in the woods.
I thought it was going in the woods too.
Man, I can hit one far in the woods. Let me just tell you.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I'm so fired up. I'm with you though. Coming off of that event, like, I'm always a little concerned, like, oh man, you're doing, you know, 6 hours of radio. You like, it's kind of a tire, like, you've got to be on all day. You're gonna be tired going home. I was not, Ben. I was jacked. Like, I was on, like, the adrenaline was pumping. That has a lot to do with the crowd that was out there, and so many nice comments about our show and us individually and our station broadly from people who drove long distances to be there, got off of work and immediately came over, brought their kids. I met three kids, one set of twins last night, and whose dad brought them. They listen every day in the car. I said, "Does he make you listen, or do you want to listen?" And the one, it was one boy and two girls, and the one boy was like, "I like to listen." And the girls didn't say anything, so I didn't ask them. I didn't probe that one. But I just want to say I appreciate those of you who are being held against your will, going to lunch or whatever, and you don't care beans about sports, but whoever's in the car, whoever's in charge of the radio is making you listen. We appreciate you too, and we hope you'll listen by choice at some point.
I want to hear you at some point today give us a little quick recap of everything that was said. With what I do at those events, I don't get to focus in on what is being said. And to be honest with you, I have no idea what you guys picked and all of that stuff. So maybe a little recap at some point today. We had so many people there. It did become difficult for those in attendance to hear at times. I don't think anybody cared because they were having a great time. And man, that location, Southern Weaving Food Hall, I tried to tell you people how awesome that was, and nothing but positive feedback. I mean, nothing but positive feedback from people there.
I had such a good time last night that I DoorDashed a smash burger.
Oh, nice.
That will be my lunch today.
I will go ahead and tell you this. We're going to be back there next year.
Oh, let's go. We know that?
As of an hour ago.
Oh, come on.
So that's the kind of success that we had, that you had last night. Yeah, we're going to be back there next year.
That, by the way, I just want everyone to know, that takes two parties being thrilled. That takes us being happy and them being happy and so happy that we're getting that done. I've never heard of this. I've never once in all my years, I don't know if I did the first one. I don't think I was actually at the first one, or maybe I was at the second one. In all my years doing this, I don't think I've ever been at one where we knew where we were going the day after for next year.
Listen, let me tell you what. When I came back here today, from a technical standpoint, my mind immediately flips to football. A lot of what I used last night, I used for football. So I'm packing for football for this season. Our sales guy walks back and asks me what date we want to do it next year. And I had that little eye twitch, and my left shoulder started like throbbing a little bit. Like, number one, that's awesome that you're asking me that. Number two, I hate you.
Did you have to go into the calendar?
Yes.
And try to pick?
Yeah, probably August 26th.
Trying to guess?
Unless Clemson were to be a week zero team next year, which, I mean, in today's age, who knows? You never know.
Look, if NC State has a fun time in Charlottesville, remember, isn't that supposed to be the game? Didn't Dave Doran say that? That NC State, Clemson's opening at NC State next year?
Yeah, that's right.
So, could be your week zero. Could be. We don't know.
Yeah, I forgot he had said that. He kind of spilled the beans there.
Texture from the 706 says, I do that daily to my coworkers. Trap them in the car and have them listen. In fact, I had one send me a video from your socials last night, so it's working. That's great. I love that so much. Another one says, my children are definitely held against their will and listen to the roar. We appreciate them very much. We have college football We're going to talk lots of college football today. In fact, I have a fun poll question that I'm going to give you when we go to break. We have three polls. It's one question, but it's three different polls on our website, theroyalfm.com/polls, the Royal Mobile app. Click the poll tab. We need you on this one. I need to know the answers, which, again, it's one question with three parts, and I'll tell you what it is in just a second. I just want to say shout out to me. That was a little Trumpish. Shout out to your favorite president, where I told you that the Braves are going to beat the Dodgers. All the Braves fans were they were ready to firing squad the entire front office, managerial staff, and roster after the Brewers series.
Look, we're not going to start talking about the Braves with 2 minutes left in a segment. Come on, dude.
I just wanted to shout out me.
That's
going to
take a minute.
I just wanted to shout out me real quick.
Praise Quark.
Yes.
From whom all great predictions come.
That's great. I love
smashed.
That. Yes! That's for the Dodgers and for my burger.
Ricky Henderson sitting over there.
Yeah!
Today, I am the greatest. I would like to thank me. Ricky's great.
Oh man, I forget about that, and it's one of the most wonderful things ever, because Ricky Henderson, one of the few people that could be that arrogant, and no one batted an eye. He backed it up on a regular basis. Stay with us. We're going to talk some Braves and some college football. Before we get a break, I do want to tell you there are three hot seat coaches, three in week zero: Bill Belichick, Mike Norvell, and Lincoln Riley. They're all out there playing tomorrow on the field, which is a lot of coaches. Like, that's a lot for week zero, okay? And we're going to play a little game of smooch, marry, kill, okay? But I'm not going to call it smooch, marry, kill. If you're familiar with the rules of that game, then you know what we're going to do. But if you're not, you know, you pick three girls, you have to smooch one, marry one, and kill one.
Yeah, I would second that. We're not doing that.
This is for teenagers, okay, teenagers. We're not doing that, or celebrities, not doing that. Instead, we're going to fire one, keep one, extend one. You only get one choice for each category. You got to fire one, keep one, so just let it ride, or give one an extension at the end of the season. Which one goes in which category? I'm curious your thoughts. I'd love to hear from the people. 654-ROAR is the number. We're going to talk about all the games. Hour one of the program continues right after this.
The countdown is on. 8 days until Clemson Tiger football, presented by Ingles. Ingles, low prices. Love the savings.
Deion King with blocking in front of him. Crosses the 25, makes a man miss. Gets to the 30, coming left side. Gets to the 35, 40, 45, 50 into Alabama territory. Across the 45, 30, and he'll step out of bounds.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Let me tell you about our friends at Dolly's Roofing. Dolly'sRoofing.com is a website. You can go there, and you can look at their handiwork. You can look at the craftsmanship. You can see the Dolly's difference in action. And what that means is three things. You're looking at the best materials on these roofs. Some of these roofs are complicated, but they're also, I mean, you're putting that over your home. That's a big investment for you. And so you need the best materials on your roof so it can last forever. You also want super qualified people and well-trained people working on that roof. And the roofers that work on Dolly's roofs are the best. They are absolutely very well-trained. I love how they kill two birds with one stone with the civic efforts, where they put a roof over some 501c3, some local business or something, to do their training. So again, they're able to help somebody that's benefiting the community, and also they benefit the people that are going to have their roofs worked on, have the roofs built by their roofers. And the third thing is a 50-year warranty straight through the manufacturer, tied to the manufacturer. That is a crazy deal, but they back it up. And that's what you want from your roof. You need it to hold up over time, and a Dolly's roof does. Go to dollysroofing.com.
Class is back in session with more sports.
And he is very much alive still, which is nice to see. We love that. For not just a Clemson guy, but a local guy. Ben, many ways to think about this week, these week zero games. For some reason, this is what I thought of this morning. That we have three coaches, all of which could be fired. Now, the Lincoln Riley inclusion here is a little bit of a, like, it's in the James Franklin ballpark of probably some dissatisfaction, but also we're not sure what the buyout, like, there's just some questions, some big questions that might keep the team from pulling the trigger. Honestly, it feels a little bit like a Mike Norvell last year in that way. Like, if you believe some of the numbers, we're talking $60, $70 million to buy out Lincoln Riley's contract. So you would have to be quite motivated at USC to be doing that. He was a very expensive pull from Oklahoma. So you have Belichick, you have Norvell, and you have Riley. And I think the consensus opinion is that Belichick is going to be fired after the year. I think the consensus opinion is that Norvell is going to be fired after the year. And I think the consensus opinion is that Riley's going to stay, but if he doesn't make the playoff, that they might get a little antsy. So that's why I came up for the rules of the game. Because you can only fire one of these guys in my game where you have to pick Belichick, Norvell, or Riley to fire. You have to pick Belichick, Norvell, or Riley to keep. And you have to pick Belichick, Norvell, or Riley to extend. Now, I'm going to extend Riley, playing my own game. Love for you to get in with your thoughts. SEC Hater says Belichick has to be fired from that disaster. Keep Norvell since he had at least the one good season. Extend Riley just because he has the highest floor. See, again, I think at USC they are paying to go to playoffs, and they are paying for proximity to playoffs. If you're going 8-4 and you're not sniffing the playoff, or you're going 7-5 and not sniffing the playoff again, they're going to be upset with that.
See, I'm with you on Lincoln Riley for that reason. He was on the hot seat at a point last year, and they've bought him a great roster. On paper, they've bought him a great roster. I don't think he's on the hot seat today, but I think they have. I think they've given him enough to where if he does not win however much they think he should, he could be back there like in a hurry, like really fast.
Oh, I think so. Now, they're very young. Okay, like they're going to start multiple freshmen at skill spots. They have really invested in high school ranks. And I think they believe in Jaden Mayava big time at quarterback. I picked him to win the Heisman last night. By the way, you asked me.
If he wins the Heisman, then Lincoln Riley's certainly not on the hot seat.
One of the reasons that I think Mayava's winning the Heisman is because, I mean, if you look at the schedule that they're playing, they're going to be in big games the whole year. And Lincoln Riley, look, I did not like the Caleb Williams Heisman talk because he was a favorite. You don't ever like the favorite. But I love a Lincoln Riley quarterback that's not the favorite. Love it. Like, cash that one every single time. Mayava is like 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, whatever, down the list. So give me that one. Their opening is 38.5-point favorites against San Jose State. These are spots where they typically cover. 38.5 is a lot of points to cover in an opener. Noon, local kickoff. I don't know if I'm laying those. But go ahead, Ben.
Well, and no, you finish your thought.
Well, they start with Fresno State, Louisiana at Rutgers. That's a nice starting point to, like, build a resume.
Right. They have five games that, from a talent standpoint, should be no-brainer. No, they should be easy wins based on their talent versus their opponent. It's the other five that, I mean, they have those seven I would consider easy for anybody. The other five are brutal. And I mean, they have a couple of bye weeks in there, but Oregon, I mean, back to back, Oregon, Washington at Penn State, and then a bye week at Wisconsin. I don't think, you know, it should not be a problem, but you never know. Then Ohio State off at Indiana. Those are tough, man.
My issue with Southern Cal, I put them in the playoff, okay? And I...
You put Southern Cal in the playoff?
I put Southern Cal in the playoff.
Interesting.
They are the last team, the last at-large in my playoff. Because honestly, I'm in this group with like BYU, SMU, Ole Miss, LSU. Like those are the kinds of teams that I'm down to at the end.
What other Big Ten teams do you have in the playoffs?
I have Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana in the playoff, and USC's my fourth.
Okay.
So I have four Big Ten teams in the playoff.
Well, USC plays all three of those others.
That's right.
If they lose to all three of those others, are they still in the playoffs? See, that's the tricky thing to navigate with that prediction.
See, that's where Walt and I disagree a little bit. This schedule is so hard that you can go 9-3. If you go 9-3, this is what it will mean if you're Southern Cal, okay? If you go 9-3, that probably means that you lost to Oregon, you lost to Ohio State, you lost at Indiana. But it also means you beat Washington, you won at Penn State, which is going to, if you're playing the schedule game out, I think Penn State is, I think people are really sleeping on Penn State. Well, I think people are overrating Penn State's roster because the schedule is an absolute joke. I think the Southern Cal home game is like one of two or three tough games that Penn State plays. So you will have a road win at Penn State. You'll have a home win against Washington. I think Wisconsin's going to be improved. Luke Fickell's one of those hot seat coaches that I actually think could save his butt this year. You're winning at UCLA, which I think will be better at the end of the season under Bob Chesney. So you've got some quality wins and no bad losses. If you just don't get embarrassed in a couple of those, like if you lose by 28 to Oregon and you lose by 30 to Ohio State and you lose by 21 at Indiana, I think they'll keep you out. I think USC is going to be the first 9-3 at-large team in the playoff because they will have the resume to do it.
You have been living under a rock then because the conference where everybody's schedule is the toughest known to mankind has not produced a 9-3 team into the playoffs yet. What makes you think the Big Ten is? I mean, the first seat for a 9-3 team, my friend, has to go to the SEC.
That's
in the bylaws somewhere. I'm certain of that.
You know why? Because a Louisiana judge will make it so. USC gets in as a 9-3, and we immediately get a temporary restraining order from Louisiana.
Could it be the governor? Don't hate the player, hate the game. I love that. I love hearing a politician say that.
It's going to be Louisiana or it's going to be Mississippi. One of those two. Because honestly, I could totally see 10-2 BYU, 9-3 Southern Cal, 9-3 LSU, 9-3 Ole Miss, and one of those 9-3 teams gets in. Maybe even like a 10-2 or 9-3 SMU. Like I'm looking at those schedules, and if it goes the way I think, then USC's 9-win resume might be better than a 10-2 BYU or a 10-2 SMU. So Southern Cal gets in. And I'm not certain that a 9-3 Ole Miss or 9-3 LSU will get that same treatment. So I have BYU at 10-2 getting in. I have Southern Cal at 9-3 getting in. I have SMU, Ole Miss, LSU. Those are my sort of three just out of the field teams. I actually have Houston pretty close. So there's that. And I think if they go 9-3 like that and barely miss the playoff, I think Riley is fine. Where I'm going to have problems is if Riley sort of, even if he destroys those seven that you talked about, if he doesn't win a couple of those bigger games, then they're going to see a lack of return on investment there. And they could really turn on him quickly. Now, again, I'm going to do the extend thing because I think they're going to be really good. And despite the schedule, I trust him to have a really good offense. And I trust, look, even if they go 8-4, I think Maiava has a chance to win the Heisman because he is playing against top 20 teams week after week after week after week after week.
Texas said, you smoking some good stuff if you think they will ever put a 9-3 ACC team in, LOL. Did you say anything about?
I did not.
Okay.
SEC team.
SEC, not ACC.
That's what we just need some clarity there.
Not ACC. We did not say that.
No. 9-3 ACC, it might lead us to NC State.
They did. I can understand how that sounds alike. So,
but no.
Maybe we're not the only one smoking some good stuff today, kind sir.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
Speaking of
smoking good stuff, we go in there?
Yeah, absolutely. As we go to break, I got to tell you this. I don't even think you know it. I had an Amazon delivery here for some station stuff earlier in the week, and they used a local driver. They basically door-dashed some batteries to us.
Okay.
But it was through Amazon. And so he pulls up in his normal car, his regular car. It was obvious it was his vehicle. Handed me the Amazon bag. I went over to the sales side and opened it. And quack, as I'm walking through, I'm like, is somebody smoking over here? I could smell. And
in the bag?
As I'm walking over there, I just smelled it all of a sudden. And It was the Amazon bag itself because it had been sitting in his car. And I walked up to one of the salespeople. I said, do you smell anything? Like, who's smoking weed? I mean, it was, you know, they have that padding in the Amazon stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It was embedded in this package, man. I sniffed that bag for the next 30 minutes just to make sure.
So that's why Ben was feeling a little weird on Tuesday. That feels like multiple exposures. That feels like in multiple stages. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we get to Seminole Ted's phone call. I want to talk to Ted about Florida State and the Braves. We'll do that when we come back. 654 Roar is the number. Get in on the polls. RoarFM.com/polls. Roar Marble Lab. Click the poll tab brought to you by Ingles. More to come after this.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page
and ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com. Whether it's kickoff, tip-off, or face-off.
Score!
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
Blue and white trucks rolling down the street. Fixing pipes and wires that can't be beat. From the upstate hills to the valley low. Ace Plumbing's a name everybody knows.
Oh. Secondhand smoke.
Maybe 9-3 was a little much. Maybe I should have stuck with 10-2 SMU. That's one of my bold predictions for the year is that one of those 10, if it's two 10-2 teams in USC and they're the last three for two spots, I think USC gets in. That's right. All right, 654 Roar is the number. Seminole Ted joined us on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. What's up, Ted?
Hey, you know, we are one day and we got a game. I'm really looking forward to the start of the season. No problem winning this game. And then we get an extra couple of days to prepare for SMU, which is really where we're going to know where we're at as a ball club or as a football team. We'll know where we stand after Labor Day. I think we got a good shot at winning that game. And honestly, I think we need to win that game. Otherwise, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors and the game crashing down. So that's my thoughts on that. the other thing I want to call and talk about, of course, you mentioned the Braves. How about sweeping the Dodgers in that pitching battle last night? Was it not amazing?
Whew. I'm going to tell you what. I was told, we're talking about court rulings. Have you heard about the court ruling in Georgia today, Ben? Mm-hmm. Did you hear about this? For the next 7 days, all chops must be done with your left hand because of Chris Sale's performance last night. So you must chop left-handed, Ted. I just want to make sure we're following Georgia state law on this.
God, I heard the chop in right Truist there. Last night. It's been a minute. I heard the chop at the end of that game.
Chris,
fantastic.
Chris Sale hit 100. 25-year-old Chris Sale didn't even throw 100.
First time he's hit 100 on the gun since 2019.
Did you see Wiley Ballard ask him about it?
Yeah.
He's like, how'd you do that?
With my arm.
He's 38. That's the crazy part.
That's great. Hey, can I tell you something, though, Ted? The last team to beat the Dodgers at home in a series was the Diamondbacks, and they immediately dropped 2 of 3 to the Rockies. Do not do that, Braves. Not.
Not at all. No, roger that. No, I tell you, I think giving Acuna the night off was probably the right call. I think he's pushing right now. And one thing I want to challenge the Braves to bunt a little more, play a little more small ball. Milwaukee just bled us to death by thousand paper cuts, by bunting, singling, small ball. They win games. Obviously, what they're doing works, and we have the speed to do that. I never felt so happy for a player than Ha-Seong Kim the other night taking that walk-off, and it was only his second career walk-off. But that's all I got. I'm excited to see what happens in the playoffs because I'm not scared of the Dodgers. Y'all have a good one and go Braves.
Thanks very much, Ted. Appreciate the phone call. I would for sure be scared of the Dodgers.
Yeah, Braves win 1-0 last night. Drake Baldwin leads off the game. First pitch, 402-foot home run. And that was it. That was your offense.
Did you see that it was the first time the Braves franchise had won a 1-0 game where the only run was on a leadoff home run since like 1889 as the Boston Bean Eaters?
Really?
Against the Indiana Hoosiers, which I don't even know what franchise that is. I have no idea. But yeah, that's what they said. First time it's happened in, what is that, 139 years or what, 137 years.
Now, they only had 4 hits in the game last night. Dodgers only had 5, but Chris Sale, Yamamoto both were, if you love great pitching, you saw great pitching last night. Chris Sale was inspired. He had a family friend, a 42-year-old lady, pass away that day. He implied that it had been a battle. I would assume cancer, perhaps. But yeah, he clearly pitched an inspired game last night, and there was no chance he wasn't coming out for the night. And did, and you know, really got he had to pitch to an extra batter because I feel like they missed a double play call. But regardless, it worked out, and what a great, I mean. When you were reeling, you just have not been playing well, and you didn't hit the ball well last night. But you got to give the Dodgers credit, somewhat for that. It could not have come at a better time, in my opinion. It could not have come at a better time.
I think what Ted said about Acuna is generally correct, but man, it you know Walt Weiss had to be sweating. That lineup card had droplets on it because you know he had to be sweating. With the Dodgers' best starting pitcher going and not writing your best player's name. I mean, it's one of those things we talk about. Like, you can look at numbers all you want to, but you're still seeing, like, when you write Ronald Acuna's name, you're not thinking the guy's batting 180 in the last 2 weeks or whatever we said. He's got more strikeouts than hits since he came back from injury. We're not thinking about that. I would also point out that they won a 1-0 game, not a 9-8 game, and the offense was not – like, Mike Yastrzemski was not great in that spot. You didn't get a lot of production there. So what it means is that might have been good for Acuna. You kind of survived because Sale stood on his head, but you need Ronald Acuna to find himself this weekend against the Rockies.
you just said something there. You said without writing your best player's name on the lineup. I've said that many times as well, referring to Ronald Acuña. Are we sure that's the case?
It is.
Because
yes.
Matt Olson continues to just be a solid, like, he is your true north of this team. He just is. And I think nothing at all against Ronald Acuña, but I don't think that we give Olson enough credit.
I think you're right about that. I think the first base position gets really devalued. This is the same thing happening. Like, I'll say from a Red standpoint, I keep hearing people comparing Sal Stewart and J.J. Weatherholt for Rookie of the Year. Sal Stewart's leading the major leagues in RBIs as a rookie, has 28 home runs. But because wins above replacement doesn't think that first base defense matters at all, and it thinks that any second baseman with any range is, like, outrageously good, that it has Weatherholt worth 3.5 more wins than Sal Stewart.
I really started thinking more about Matt Olson. I believe it was the Wednesday game, perhaps. Freddie Freeman is a runner on first, and the cameras, you know, locked in on Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson standing there together. The Braves announcers are talking. They were trying to say in a very polite way that the Braves haven't missed a beat without Freddie Freeman. And I don't even like having that conversation because of how much I like Freddie Freeman. I will just say this. I don't think you could have found a better replacement anywhere for Freddie Freeman than Matt Olson. Can I get away with that?
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
Are they not kind of the same guy, except that one of them is quite a bit younger than the other?
You know what? When that transaction was made, when Freeman signed with the Dodgers and the Braves traded, they gave up quite a few prospects and players for Matt Olson. It was an expensive trade. The rationale behind it at the time, and the reason I liked it, was exactly what you just said. Even if Freddie Freeman is better than Matt Olson today, Matt Olson is younger and perhaps can have a better next 6 years, 7 years, whatever, than Freddie Freeman, even if Freeman's better for 2 or 3 years. It turns out right now that Matt Olson is a legitimate MVP candidate in the National League, and Freddie Freeman has declining abilities. Freddie Freeman is more of a gap-to-gap hitter, really, honestly, more of a singles hitter. He's not stealing many bases anymore, giving you a little bit of extra value that way. He's a good defender, but he's not appreciably better than Olson. In fact, I would say that Olson has developed even as a taller first baseman, which can be a problem when you're fielding the position and when you're scooping the ball and things like when you're receiving. Matt Olson is as good or better as Freddie Freeman right now defending the position. And Freddie Freeman for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years has been the standard at first base. I'm totally in agreement with you on that, that right now the Braves have the better first baseman of that trade with Matt Olson at probably the exact trajectory. If you look year over year, that trade, and I understand Freeman signed, but that trade to bring Olson in to replace Freeman has worked out exactly like the Braves could have thought year over year.
Yeah, and, you know, I was devastated when Freeman left the Braves, like most Braves fans were. I think Olson has settled into that role in remarkable fashion. And if you compare numbers between Olson and Freeman from 2022 to now, they're very, very similar. Freeman's on base percentage is better. Olson gives you more power. But with RBIs, Olson has 71 more RBIs than Freddie Freeman does in that same period
of time. Wow.
He has 72 more home runs in that same period of time. Freeman has a batting average of .308 since 2022, though, and Olson is .260. So if you compare all the major stats, they're, you know, it's about 50-50 in the major stats. Now, I mean, Freeman has 103 more hits in that period of time, but I mean, which is why his batting average is higher. But they're basically the same guy. They are. And to be honest with you, I was skeptical that he could be. But he has just quietly, he being Matt Olson, just quietly went about his business and become the leader.
We'll talk about this more on the other side. Hour two of the program is next.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHD-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
This hour of the program brought to you by our friends at Tiger Diagnostics. Dr. Ted Swan and his team, they have one goal. That's it. They want to make your health care more friendly to you, the patient. And they realized that there was a gap in not necessarily in coverage, but a gap in customer service, shall we say, when you get your labs done. Those annual, when you go to your physical, you get blood drawn, all that stuff. I've done it for years. And so I understand, like, sometimes you got to wait a while. And that's kind of annoying, even when you don't have, like, a medical situation you're trying to get to the bottom of. But when you do have medical things that come up, you need that turnaround time to be pretty quick. And with Tiger Diagnostics, you can get, within 24 hours, you can get your results right to you and to your doctor so that you know what to do. You can take your next steps. That's what Tiger Diagnostics is trying to do. They're trying to keep your blood in state. They're trying to make sure that they create jobs in the state so that patients in the state of South Carolina get that excellent type of medical care, not just broadly, but within a timely, within a relatively good time frame. For more on how they are changing the game and how you can be a part, four locations, the Draw Center, go to TigerDiagnosticsLab.com.
We got buzzer beaters, walk-offs,
and Hail Mary.
To the house!
105.5 and 97.5, The Roar.
The cost of heading back to school really adds up. Founders is making this season a little easier with 5.99% APR for 6 months on back-to-school purchases made on a Founders credit card. Pay for school supplies, clothes, groceries, and school fees without the high interest rate from now through August 31st. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc to learn more. Or
654-ROAR, you want to get in Pratt, Andrew Lars, phone lines, Adams, a co-roofing text line. Go vote in our three polls on the roarfm.com/polls, Aurora mobile app, click the poll tab. We just need to know, who would you fire, who would you keep, who would you extend? Bill Belichick, Mike Norvell, Lincoln Riley. Get your votes in. We're going to talk about it in this hour. More Braves talk in this hour. More Week Zero talk in this hour. Love to do it with you. I do want to tell you first about False Park at Kiwi, man. If you go to their website, falsparkatkiwi.com, absolutely immaculate views. We're talking about lake access, direct access to Kiwi, concierge access to Jocassee. You are living like in the mountains. You're living in the Blue Ridge Mountains up there in Salem. And you can, that can be like every day you wake up in a beautiful natural oasis. Gated community, 71 home sites, nature trails, all the views you could want with streams and mountains and, again, the lake access that you want. Everything that you could possibly need for a very quiet, communal life. That's what Falls Park at Kiwi is offering. It's a tremendous, tremendous piece of property there. 71 home sites. You can get yours today. FallsParkAtKiwi.com. We get this text on the Adams & Co. roofing text line that says this: I hear a lot of people writing off the Dodgers, especially Braves fans, because of their head-to-head this season. I want to warn people, go look at what the Dodgers did last regular season and in the postseason. They played with their food till it was time to eat. Getting Scooball makes them very formidable in any series format. I agree with that. I said when the Dodgers are operating from strength, they are the best team in baseball.
And I would agree with the texture. That's a big mistake to write off the Dodgers. They're very good.
Not only that, if you heard Ted's call there, and I don't blame Braves fans because you just saw them both. You just saw the Brewers and the Dodgers. You did not play well against the Brewers. You did play well against the Dodgers. Better against the Dodgers, I'll say that. And so you probably going into a playoff, you're like, well, I'd rather see the Dodgers because we've had success. The Brewers have made the playoffs. They were a dreadful franchise for a long time. They have made the playoffs in 7 of the last 8 years. In the history of the Brewers franchise prior to 2018, they had made the playoffs four times. Going all the way back to 1969 as the Seattle Pilots, they made the playoffs in 81, 82, 2008, and 2011. And that's it. But they've made it in 18, 19, 20, 21, 23, 24, and 25, which is great. They're the gold standard of the National League Central. They're one of the three best franchises right now. Probably bang for your buck, they might be the best franchise in the National League. But in playoff series during that time, they are just 3-6. They do not play well in a playoff. Their style, it wins regular season series. The way their roster is set up, it wins regular season series. But it is not set up to win playoff series, especially short playoff series. Now, with Mizorowski, you might be able to make the argument that they're a better short series team than they've been. But, like, they got swept by the Dodgers last year in the NLCS. They've only made the NLCS twice in that time. And they have won 90-plus games five times in the last 8 years. They're going to win 90-plus games for the fourth straight season. But they have lost twice in the wild card and once in the NLCS just in the last 4 years. I guess the last 3 years before this. They have won one playoff series. That's it. So I'm not worried about the Brewers. Like, if I'm the Braves and I go to a playoff series, I'm not worried about the Brewers. The Brewers are not set up to win them. I would be worried about the Dodgers. And honestly, the regular season matters. Where you play these games matters. Do you get the bye matters. It all matters. But when you get in the postseason, none of the stuff in the regular season matters when it comes to those two teams. If you're thinking about who would the Braves rather play. I'm just telling you. I know it sounds antithetical to what you've seen for the last week, but you want to see the Brewers in a playoff series, and you do not want to see the Dodgers in a playoff series. Absolutely. I've never been more sure of anything. Texter asks this. What about in October in a big moment? Who would you rather have at the plate, Olsen or Freeman? I'd rather have Olsen right now, personally.
You couldn't go wrong with either one of those guys.
No, I mean, it seems like a dirty question, honestly.
Yeah, you couldn't go wrong with either of those guys.
I feel like my best bet with Freeman is like choking up and like spraying a ball somewhere, and Olsen could just rip the crap out of it. Mm-hmm. I just feel like that's your options. Those are your options there. 654 Roy, if you'd like to get in. I want to get back to the poll for a second. Any other thoughts on the Braves, by the way? Any other thoughts on Braves-Dodgers last night or the Rockies series coming up?
Well, you make me nervous about the Rockies series now. You know, on paper, that this should be a series win for the Braves. But I suppose there is a little concern after you win. They were all three one-run games, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, so you win in dramatic fashion each night. Does the adrenaline of the Dodgers series wear off tonight? That would be, you know, do you feel like, well, we've made it? That's where your manager is so important. And these guys are professional. You know, hopefully that's not the mentality, but you've got to keep playing well. And, you know, lose a series to the Rockies, and then all of a sudden that doesn't feel as great, so... But you got Grant Holmes on the mound tonight. I'll take that.
Yeah, Holmes and Shigano, I think that probably goes your way. Feltner and Perez goes your way. Adams and Malley, I mean, I would think that goes your way too. You're never going to, particularly when you're facing the Rockies in your ballpark, you should pretty much win on paper every game. There's not going to be a game where you should feel like you're going to lose. But this is exactly what happened to the Diamondbacks, and that is why I'm nervous, because the Diamondbacks had their best arms lined up to throw against the Dodgers, and they beat them in the series. And then sort of the back of the rotation was lined up to throw against the Rockies, and the Rockies ended up beating them 2 out of 3.
So Chad the mailman says, did the Dodgers join the SEC playing with their food? These games don't matter, LOL. Great point.
I mean, that's what they do. Look, they put another pitcher on the injured list. What was his injury? We're not sure. His injury was, let's get another guy from our 40 man and work him back in, and then we'll just add him back when we need him.
Yeah, and Texter points out big weekend home crowd should help as well. Yeah, I would imagine you're going to have full Truist Parks this weekend.
No question. No question about it. Because people have asked about the bye and all that stuff, Braves are still behind the Brewers and the Dodgers. They are four games back of the Brewers, only one game back of the Dodgers. As of right now, this is like worst-case scenario for the Braves. If that were to go into the playoffs, worst-case scenario for the Braves. Because the Braves would have to play in the 3-6 series, and then they would get the Dodgers. I would, if I'm the Braves and I can't be the one seed, I want the Dodgers to be the one seed so that I can get further in the playoffs. Because I'm telling you, I want to face the Brewers as quickly as possible. And it's my belief, I said this weeks ago, that because of the disparity in the schedules moving forward, that I think the Dodgers are still going to be the one seed. And I think the Braves will end up the three, but with the Brewers as the two seed, because the Braves' schedule is just tougher moving forward, and the Dodgers they have some pretty cushy series. Matt in the Big Brown Truck, I don't know if you said this a while ago, Clemson Day on Sunday at Truist Park.
Oh, forgot about that.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that as well. So that's good. All right, to our poll, I'll give you the early results here. Three questions, same basic premise. Three coaches that are considered hot seat coaches that are coaching their first games in week zero. Bill Belichick with North Carolina, noon tomorrow in Ireland. Mike Norvell, Florida State, they start against New Mexico State tomorrow afternoon. And Lincoln Riley, same thing, tomorrow afternoon. They begin their season. Florida State, 7 o'clock, so that's a night game. You can fire one, extend one, keep one. Okay? Fire, keep, extend. It's like smooch, marry, kill, but, you know, more football related. Right now, 84% of respondents to the poll say fire Belichick. All right? Actually, I just updated it. A couple people got in. 85.7% say Bill Belichick fired. 50% say keep Lincoln Riley. You get another year. 16% say extend Lincoln Riley. So that means there are lots of folks who misunderstood the assignment. You're supposed to only pick one for each, like pick one for each different one. That's fine. That's interesting. Where you've got a little bit of mixture of who are you just keeping? We're just going to roll it over 1 year. 19.1% say extend Mike Norvell. 4.8% say extend Bill Belichick. Nobody so far thinks Lincoln Riley will be fired this offseason. I do think that in this day and age, I'm telling you, I know I've said this on our show before. I went out on a limb last night saying I think Steve Sarkisian's getting fired. I think every year there will be a coach of a program that is paying for an elite roster that either has not achieved elite results or has been inconsistent in that regard. Think about it. James Franklin got fired in the middle of the season after playing in the Final Four. Went to the playoff, played in the Final Four, and got fired in the middle of the next season. Brian Kelly was paid $1 jillion and got fired mid-season by the governor. Steve Sarkisian could easily be in that boat. Lincoln Riley could easily be in that boat. There are probably two. Kalen DeBoer could easily be in that boat of coaches who your programs either are or think they are paying for great, paying for elite, paying for playoff appearances easily earned, and they're not getting it. That could be Lincoln Riley. I don't know if you saw this, Ben, but there was an update on, I think it was Michael Alford that gave it, on Florida State's season ticket sales. Have you seen this one?
No.
Okay.
Good or bad?
Oh.
Not good.
Not good.
I don't think you're reading it if it's good.
It's worse than you think. His update is they're about 3,000 off of where they were last year. Last year they were around 30. This year they're 27,838 is where they were earlier this morning. This is John Loesch, or Lesh, I think is his name. He writes for SB Nation, Tomahawk Nation. And he's comparing the season ticket sales from 3 years ago at Florida State. Now, mind you, they did all this renovation. They've got the luxury areas, the suites and all that. They've got a better experience for people. In 2023, Florida State sold 34,060 season tickets. And right now, 27,838. That's more than 6,000 season tickets off. I think that's around 15% reduction over 3 years.
That's not good. I would just point out, in the interest of fairness, that you know when they renovated the stadium, they had a greatly reduced number of people.
Yes.
And I got to imagine that a lot of those were season ticket holders. When someone has done something for a long time, you've had season tickets for, you know, 15 years, and then all of a sudden you don't, and you realize you didn't miss it as bad as you thought, and the team's not playing well, I would imagine there's a pretty significant group of season ticket holders that did not come back once they got a taste of not having them in the first place.
You know, that's a great point. I did not think about the extent of the reduction. They're down like 20% in capacity in their whole stadium. They went from over 80, what were they, 81, 81.5, something
like
that.
Did they drop that much?
They dropped down. The attendance I'm seeing right now is 67,277.
Oh, I had no idea they cut that many.
So you're talking about 14,000 off. I said 20%. That's probably about 15%.
You know, and then there is also this, you know, Mike brings up a great, well-thought-out point. Says, can it be that they just plain suck? Yes. Occam's razor here.
Yeah, you know, excellent point. We'll consider that during the break, and we'll digest it. We'll figure it out on the other side. Is that the case with Florida State? We will come back and talk about this more because I think it is an integral part of the conversation with Mike Norvell. Stay with us. Hour 2 continues in a moment.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket.
Here on the program, thanks for joining us. I want to tell you about Grass Nerds. This is it feels nice outside. We're starting to get into that fall feeling just a little more. Don't look at your 7-day forecast, but just trust me, just based on how it feels today. A little more like football today. And to be quite honest with you, that means we're moving into a brand new season for your lawn. And so regardless of what your lawn looks like in the summer, you can get it ready for the dormant season. You can get it ready for next year. You do that right now with Grass Nerds. And you should do it with Grass Nerds because they're local people that care about local lawns. That's what they do. They work on local lawns. They care about local lawns. They want to make sure that natives of the upstate get the type of care that they need when they're giving their hard-earned dollars to somebody to make sure, to a company that makes sure that their grass grows like it's supposed to, that their yard looks like it's supposed to. They do that by doing a soil sample analysis. Their most basic plan includes an annual soil sample analysis to make sure their treatments are doing what they're supposed to be doing. For more on what Grass Nerds can give you, the price points, the different features, and the add-ons you can use, go to grassnerds.com. Ben, you were telling me before we start the season this year, there have been some changes that have at least made it through committee that look likely to pass for next football season that I think are pretty impactful, and I think they're going to be pretty popular with most.
The NCAA Oversight Committee has adopted these three proposals. They still have to have a formal vote with the Division I cabinet, which will meet October 6th and 7th. You and I are in agreement. This feels like this is going to be a rubber stamp there. So one of these is significant. The first one is adjusting the 15-day portal window from 15 days down to 10 days. And it will begin on January 1st or the first business day after January 1st when the portal opens. So I guess if January 1st is on a weekend, that's what they're...
Right.
Okay. portal from 15 days down to 10. I know coaches are going to like that because they can they don't have to worry about roster construction for five less days. They can get out and recruit. A change to out of what they call, they just call out of season activities, practice activities. They call it practice activities. That's interesting. These are the current rules for spring and summer. That you instead of you can have a maximum number of practices up to 21. Seven, but you can do it in two different periods of time. So this is spring and summer. In other words, you can break this up and you can have spring practice and then you can have summer practice if you so choose. 7 weeks is the longest and neither can exceed 5 weeks.
So the way I read this...
7 weeks being a 7 week window, but neither can exceed 5 weeks. That's the way that it's written. My mind doesn't comprehend how that would be, but regardless.
So this would be my next question. Do, like mat drills and stuff like that probably would not count on this. This would be like an on-field exercise.
Like your spring practice, yes.
Right. So this would essentially split spring practice into two, and this makes all the sense in the world. I have been a proponent of moving spring practice away entirely. Get it out of second semester, move it into summer, like the NFL with OTAs, mini camps, that kind of stuff. There's no portal window anyway, so you have some, you know, acclimation. So now with this rule, you can split up spring practice and do, you know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks in the spring and then do a couple in the summer where coaches get hands-on with the players before you start game prep in August. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, now – I'm a little unclear how that calendar works, but if you can move some of your spring practice to summer, the other thing that it does is it allows you to bring in your freshmen and let your freshmen who are not early enrollees be a part of that. That could be very beneficial to incoming freshmen. And then finally, this is the one that you're going to want to hear. Beginning next year, the Thursday of what is now considered week zero, so yesterday, will instead become the official week one of the college football season. Labor Day will no longer be the official start of college football. So in other words, they're going to move the season up 1 week, but the end is not changing. Last weekend of regular season games will still be Thanksgiving weekend. So it's safe to assume another bye week in there.
I think this does two really important things. One is clear, one is not. This is a Qualc 4D chess play, okay? One is exactly what you said. More rest and recovery for athletes. I think it probably... It more normalizes a quote-unquote week zero to the point that we may not even need a week zero. Like, I would imagine that week zero, as we're seeing it now, sort of goes away. That you don't even have a week before this. That the first week you can play games is going to be this weekend next year, is what it sounds like. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's what it sounds like. The other thing it does, and I appreciate college football being proactive on this, we have seen the NFL's tentacles extend. We have seen the NFL encroach on Black Friday. We have seen the NFL encroach on Christmas Day. We've seen the NFL does not care about your calendar and your needs. The NFL doesn't give anybody any space of their own. They take it because they know that they can. I think this is a good proactive move in case the NFL decides to do the same thing, and they want to start on Labor Day weekend, and they want to include an extra bye week in their season. I think the NFL will were going to do this regardless, but I think the NFL wants to start earlier. I think they're going to shrink preseason. Like, they have 3 weeks. I would not be shocked at all if that goes down to two. Would not be shocked at all about that.
Players' unions has wanted that for years.
Right. I think they will have games from Thursday to Monday on Labor Day weekend as early as maybe 2 years from now.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that would still give college football the spotlight for the opening weekend.
That's right. And even if you're playing crap games, they're your crap games. You're not competing with the NFL.
I think I like this. The only thing that I don't like is that school will not have started in a lot of places on the opening weekend. But, even more reason, those leases start August 1st, even more reason to come back to campus early. Mom, Dad, I got to move in. I mean, I got a football game.
we did that. A lot of people did that. Clemson, North Carolina. It was a Sunday night. It was the Wayne Ellington heartbreaker game, one of the nine times that Wayne Ellington crushed our souls. But students weren't back, and a lot of students came back like 2 days early to stand in line for tickets to that game. I very much remember that. It would not shock me at all if move-in and stuff, like if stuff gets moved around to make sure that, whether it's classes, but certainly the students are on campus for the start of seasons moving forward. Especially when, like last year, where Labor Day is on September 1st. So under this format, the season would start on August 21st. Like if you're going to Thursday, or August 23rd if you're keeping it to Saturday. Like that is early. That's really early in the calendar.
Remember when we opened the show today and I told you that the college football kickoff show next year was going to be August 26th at Southern Weaving Food Hall?
You did say that.
And I joked with our sales staff this morning that, I said, well, unless Clemson's playing a week zero. So I guess it's going to be August 19th next year instead of August 26th.
Yes. You know what else is?
I knew that would happen. I knew that would happen. Yeah, the moment that I say that out loud, I knew it would happen.
This is why the ACC waits till June to tell us football schedules. There's one other thing that could possibly be happening here with the NCAA, and I don't think this committee would even. I don't think they would, show their cards here. I'm not sure they would even admit this publicly, but. There has been some talk. They didn't do it here, but they sort of set them. So, again, this is the chess move that lets you do this. They have set it up, Ben, where in the future, you can now identify Thanksgiving weekend as conference championship weekend. Or first round of the playoff weekend, if we go to some weird 20 model or whatever it is, where the conference championships are now essentially playing games, where you're now doing the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, where it's all conference championship games, where you're moving rivalry games back a week and you're doing it that way, that gives you a chance to start the playoff earlier and end the season earlier. That's not in this proposal, but starting the season a week earlier allows you to remove a week from the end of the schedule if you want it. So just letting that lie, just lay it out there for the people. We did when we left, and we'll go to break on this. Any other thoughts on the schedule, by the way?
Do people like that? I'm just curious as to what you think about that. Let us know.
Quez from Clemson says, I'm for starting the season a week early if it gets rid of week zero games, because week zero games usually suck unless there's two ranked teams playing, which isn't happening this year.
I don't like having one less week of summer. For me, but
we do enjoy our summer, the little bit of summer that we get.
But I think I am in favor of another bye week. I like the two bye weeks in a season. I do.
Stevie from Simpsonville says, now we start to infringe on high school football again. Now, it depends on whether you're playing games on Friday. I mean, college football has long since infringed on high school football with Friday nights. We understand that. You're talking about the calendar. I understand that part. But if you're starting on, if you say no Thursday or Friday games in FBS, kind of like what's happening this weekend, then I feel like high school football has a platform tonight that you have a couple weeks.
I understand the point, and I don't like that either. But when you think about how many people that truly impacts compared to the broader college football fan, I don't know that that's significant.
I'm not sure it is.
You know
either.
What I mean?
Yeah. I'm not sure it is either. I don't think, to me, infringing on high school football is this, okay? And I understand the calendar thing, but infringing to me is I would go to this high school football game I normally go to, but I can't because. That's an infringement.
And see, if you're going to now, for people who, like, travel to Clemson for a home game, you're not going to be at your, you know, you're not going to be able to go to your local high school game on a Friday night, chances are, because you're traveling. But let's just say you live in the upstate here. Do you not still go to your high school football game on Friday night and then go to Clemson on Saturday?
Yeah.
You know, and there's not a lot of television coverage of high school games. So I don't know. I mean, I that's a fair point. But I just don't know how many people that truly affects.
There normally aren't a ton. Like, if you want to stay home and watch college football on TV, there aren't a ton of really good games on Friday night. There are a couple of Fridays where you might, but I mean, you can you know, pick and choose your spots on those too. Also, I found an excellent way to keep up. In fact, I'm going to I'll be at Daniel tonight for Daniel BHP. I'm taking Hollis over there.
So will the Roar.
That's exactly right. Ashby, but not me.
Sam and Ashby will be broadcasting.
Yeah, I'll be off the clock. This might be the first time I've ever gone to a Roar event off the clock in like 15 years.
How weird is that going to be for you?
It's going to be very weird. They're doing a great job, though. I'm excited for the broadcast tonight. And likely, I'll be listening to them on the way home. I'm not sure Hollis is going to make it the whole time. We'll see. This will be, by the way, she's not been to a Clemson game yet. This will be her first football game of any caliber. So she has no idea what she's in for tonight. Absolutely none. Let's take a break. We'll get back to the Florida State discussion and more Week Zero when we return.
The countdown is on. Is on. 8 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Deion King with blocking in front of him. Crosses the 25, makes a man miss. Gets to the 30, coming left side. Gets to the 35, 40, 45, 50 into Alabama territory. Across the 45, 30, and he'll step out of bounds.
105.5, 97.5, The Roar. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Let me tell you about our friends at One Time Plumber, because when you have a plumbing emergency, you might not know who to call. So when in doubt, call the plumber. Work on Clemson Boulevard. Let me tell you about Arthrex, careers.arthrex.com. If you go to that website, we do it every now and then just to keep you aware of exactly where it is that they need assistance. Now, when we do this, there are two things that we often highlight. One is that jobs come open because somebody gets promoted. Or the second thing is that they're creating jobs all the time. Right now, there are 11 jobs available. All different shifts, all different sectors, different levels on the org chart. This is a great spot. If you're, for example, business systems analyst, everything from that to like machine operators and buyer planners in the global supply chain and a molding tech on the night shift, there are so many different ways you can get involved at Arthrex, and it is a wonderful company. Highly recommend. The employee satisfaction scores off the charts. They treat their employees great, great benefits and great hourly rates and all of that, careers.arthrex.com. I did do a little research, Ben. We were talking about Florida State and their season tickets, how they're down from the mid-30,000s to under 28,000 right now, year over year from 2023 to 2026. And somebody asked, so what are the numbers on Clemson? And so I checked with ChatGPT. I'll give him a shout. And the numbers for 2023, 24, 25, and 26. 23, it says, depending on where you look, 55 to 60,000. 24 is about 53,000. 25 was 55,300. 2026, 53,700 in terms of season tickets. So 23 and 24, there was a drop from 23 to 24. Now, 2023, they lost four games. It was not great. And going into 24, obviously those numbers are down. Now, 2025, the numbers went back up over 55,000. And the reason for that was you have LSU as that first game. I think that was the reason a lot of people gave for their season tickets was LSU. And by the way, in 23, you were coming off an ACC title. Cade Klubnik was the starting quarterback. And you had Florida State and Notre Dame in your home slate. So that's why the number goes up in 23 and then back down again in 24 when that season wasn't quite what you thought it was going to be. So this year, 53,700, rightfully you would point out, it's still above where they were in 24. It's just down from last year. Pretty stable, I would think. Over, mm-hmm. If you're just talking about that four-year period. And Florida State, as you said, they chopped off like 13, 14, 15% of their capacity. So that means they're going to decrease even the season tickets that they offer. But it still is an indicator that there is not a lot of confidence in Mike Norvell. And even year over year from last year to this year to be down 3,000, not great. Not great vibes at Florida State. Now, somebody else pointed out on the Adams Goverfing text line that it's also potentially an indicator that people just don't have money. I think there is a change in behavior that probably necessitates that season tickets are going down. Like, fewer people are going to buy for the whole season, and they're going to sort of hunt and pick individual games to go. You've got more activities, like when you start young families, there's more distractions. I say distractions like college football is your focus. But there are more things that are competing for our attentions on Saturdays. Not quite as sacred as it used to be for a lot of folks. It's more difficult to avoid. So you got your kids in soccer and you got all that stuff, and it becomes a day-long endeavor. And so for some families, they're trying to decide, do we want to do this or that? And you may not choose season tickets, but you might choose to go to three games or four games. You just buy them individually. Keep your parking pass. You know, some people keep buying season tickets and they sell them for the same reason. But I don't think that the economy and all this, I don't think that is the main reason why Florida State season ticket sales are down. If I had to fire one of Mike Norvell, Bill Belichick, or Lincoln Riley, it would be Mike Norvell. Now, I think Mike Norvell is going to make this very difficult on Florida State. Because I think Florida State, I'm not as high on Florida State as Faxon. Okay, but I actually think Florida State has a good chance to be more interesting this year. Last year, they were interesting for a moment, and if you listen to this show, we were telling you not to read too much into the Alabama result, that meant a lot of things for both, there was a lot of noise in that game. We say that around political polls sometimes. That's a noisy poll. That was a noisy data set, that one game. But we were talking about ceiling and floor with Clemson, South Carolina last night. Florida State, there aren't a lot of gimme games. There's not a lot of games I feel great about on this schedule. But there's enough toss-up games in there that, if it works, if their offense is really going, they can get to six wins, I think, fairly easily. New Mexico State, SMU, Central Arkansas, Virginia, Clemson, NC State, and Florida are their home games. I mean, would it be outside the realm of possibility for them to win all of those? I don't necessarily think so. And then you got like road game at Louisville, road game at Boston College, road game at Pittsburgh. These are not like a lot of toss-ups. I mean, they could go 4-8. I think they're going to be annoyingly 6-6, and they're going to have a choice to make with Mike Norvell.
I don't think there's any choice to make it 6-6.
See, I don't think so either. I didn't think there was a choice to make last year, personally. I know what the number is. Ben, the number is still big. It's like, isn't it? I think it's still over $40 million to buy them out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's not like they went from 50 to 30 or whatever, and you're like, oh, we could get to 30. It's still a really high, like a historically high number for a college football coach.
Mike Norvell better make sure he watches his P's and Q's this year. because you know good and well they give he gives them any opportunity to fire him with cause. Like, but I'd make sure you put the toilet seat down. Even I mean, I'm not giving them any reason not to like not to like me and to fire me.
Do we think Florida State's doing an internal investigation? Just in case they need to, like, miraculously find some things for the NCAA?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
The Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee, like, can y'all believe what we found that we were doing? Oh, man, this is so bad. You should punish us and also let us fire him. That was the Tennessee. Oh, man, we found all this dirt on our football program. How could this have happened? We're all trying to find the one that did this, the hot dog. The hot dog meme. That's where Florida State is. Ben, call me crazy. I've got TCU -7.5, okay? I feel good about that. I don't think they're firing Bill Belichick after this season.
Why?
Because it's only 2 years. We're still only 2 years. Now, think about that. It has been a lifetime with Bill Belichick. It's been a nightmare. Ben, It's my belief that they could have the same record and be a better football team because their schedule is tougher. Then I think there are still too many people in positions of power at North Carolina that are invested in making sure this does not fail. Now, some may say that it already failed, that they reorganized and they sort of, even like, you know, the undercurrents of power, like they have reoriented themselves to more of a traditional structure rather than – they literally did this, if people forget. They hired Bill Belichick while the AD was doing a proper coaching search. They had two coaching searches going on in North Carolina, and Bill Belichick was the non-official one. But he said yes before the AD found their candidate, and then they basically strong-armed Bubba Cunningham to say, okay. And then it ended up being an absolute disaster. And again, there's egg on the face of a lot of people on the board. I think they're going to give him a third year. I think they fire Lombardi. I think he's out with cause at some point.
And is I think he currently with them?
He is. I think he's still on leave, I think, pending an HR investigation that we're certain is going to be a fair process. We're certain. We're certain of that. I think they're going to get rid of Lombardi. I think they're going to convince themselves with Petrino. He had to tell them up front, we are going heavy on high school. You can't fire him for putting a plan in place that you rubber stamped at the beginning, where I think they have gone way too far into the high school ranks. Signing 40 kids? Eric McLean LOL'd about this yesterday. Like, he was legitimately like, the only reason that your recruiting class is worth a dang is because you had 40 kids in it. Your class isn't good. McLean literally is like, I don't think any of these guys are going to make an impact. But it still is a high school class. You can't be mad that they're young because you wanted them to do that. Or at least you rubber stamped it. I think Norvell gets fired because they're tired of it. They're tired of the Norvell experience. They're only in year two of the Belichick experience. I think it's if I have to choose one, I think it's Norvell. Jed brings up the point. They are legitimately starting. If you think Belichick's getting fired, then it's because there's fires all around him. The dog walks in the room and is like the wide-eyed dog, saying help on his face. Belichick walks into the Aer Lingus Classic tomorrow without his son, the defensive coordinator, or his general manager currently with the team. That ain't good. I'll just tell you that right now. The vibes are bad for Norvell. The vibes are bad around Florida State. The vibes are bad for Belichick. And the only thing that can save Belichick is if they lay it all on Lombardi's shoulders and they basically say, let's try again with a cheaper GM that's not going to ruin this.
Tomorrow's like watching a wreck on the interstate. You don't want to look, but you have to. That'll be me watching North Carolina tomorrow. You know, who knows? Maybe they surprise some people. Surprise me if it's within a touchdown.
Walt made a good point yesterday that you should probably not bet any of these games. But I am reckless and undisciplined. And so, like, I would not lay 9.5 like it is today, but I feel really good about TCU -7.5. Eric McLean, I was like, what are the chances? I asked him yesterday, Ben, what are the chances we're surprised by North Carolina? He said, how many did they lose by last year? I said 38. He said they're going to lose by 38 again. That's ACC Network.
After the break, I'm going to tell you about one of the biggest upsets in college football history. And also, I have a great impersonation story to share with you.
Come on. Come on. Let's go. 654 Roar if you'd like to get in on that. We'll talk about some more of the